Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Afternoon or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to
100th.
The 100th episode of Just Ball Things.
For the war against the war.
Before we get into the whole spiel, let's have a little bit of a celebration here, because it is the 100th episode. It's very exciting.
It is. It's hugely exciting.
Massively exciting. I can't believe we've made it to 100 episodes, you and me.
Like
different settings. At first it was in the studio, in your house. Now it's in my boudoir.
Yes, the boudoir.
A lot of people know the boudoir.
Yes, they do.
But we've got a little bit of a special something here for you for the 100th episode. So we'll take it away.
Okay.
Well, good night, everybody. It sure has been great bringing you 100 episodes. We want to thank our guests, the pro-war people and the anti-war people.
For the war, against the war, who cares? 100 episodes.
Little something there from one of the greatest shows ever.
Thank you, Matt Parker, Trey Stone. Or the other way around, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, I don't know.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone, it's definitely Trey Parker.
Yeah.
Yes, so thank you there, Randy, for your kind words.
I mean, it was specifically for us. It wasn't from an episode in 2004, 2005. Purely for Just Ball Things in our 100th episode.
And this just proves that ball transcends all things.
It does, it transcends war. It brings peace.
No one gives a fuck what side of the fence you sit on. Nah. But we made 100 episodes,
baby. I mean, we care what side of the fence you sit on when it comes to the Music Manuel scale, though, Nicholas.
Damn right.
But designtree.com, dsgtree.com/off-the-glass.
Before we get to our ever-present Music Manuel scale, we've got some things to say.
The official banter time.
The official banter time. For those of you who have been with us 100 episodes, you know the drill. JBT Nick. At JBT Nick.
Let's take a look.
Twitter.
Where's he at?
Oh, God. I got one new follower on the weekend. So I think I'm at 62 now. It's exciting stuff. At the J-Man JBT as well. You can contact us on Twitter. Designtree.com/off
nice.
The glass. Nice. Yeah. / off the glass. DSGN tree, that is. We can pick up some awesome OTG and JBT merch.
100 episodes. Do something for us.
That's it. We had our order. Did we have our order go through?
I haven't done it yet. I'm going to be doing it very soon.
Okay.
My next paycheck.
I'm excited.
Yes.
I am excited, Jackie boy. Facebook.com/JustBallThings. Give us a like and a follow there. We're posting heaps of stuff for the playoffs. At OTG Basketball, you can follow them on Twitter. They post a lot of awesome NBA stuff. A lot of news articles. Like we said, designtree.com for some merch. What's happening on the OTG platform?
A lot of free agency previews coming out soon, Nick. There's a couple out there already. Plenty of finals content. A lot of reacts after the game. And the draft content is growing as it always does. So plenty of stuff at OGDBasketball.com. And always, the pods, the outlet, the buzz. Lots of stuff.
Awesome podcast.
Full access hoops.
That we are part of. We're lucky to be part of.
I don't know how we got a part of it, but who cares?
All you, baby. It was all you, baby.
Who cares, 100 episodes.
JBTpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on email as well. Mate, let's get straight into the Music Manuel scale.
Do it.
This is where we scale things that are likely to happen in the NBA. Oh, somewhat
or
likely.
Or unlikely.
Or unlikely.
Who knows?
That's why we scale it. We scale it on alternative, Twitter, Wikipedia, or straight up factorinos.
Yes.
All right. Kevin Durant.
Kevin.
KD.
I was going to say KD. All right.
The Durantula. Ooh. That's something I haven't heard in a while. I haven't heard the Durantula.
The Slim Reaper, I've always liked. He hated it. I remember him saying he hated Slim Reaper. I'm like, that's the sickest nickname ever.
It's because he doesn't like being slim.
I know.
He's very self-conscious.
I like being slim.
Yeah, but he's very
slim. He's very slim. He makes me look like you.
You piece of shit.
Sorry, I'm a mean person.
Kevin Durant.
Wonderful shape. Kevin isn't, though.
Hey, round is a shape.
Yes, Brown is a wonderful shape. It's the best shape in the world.
Kevin Durant's return is the only thing that can bring Golden State from the brink of defeat. As we are recording this, it is 3-1 to the Raptors.
Yes.
With game 5 on the horizon.
Yeah, literally tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yep. By the time you guys are listening to this, it could be happening as we speak.
Or it could be 3 years later.
Oh, who knows? Yeah, I mean, just revisit 100 episodes. Who cares?
Exactly.
100 episodes.
For the war against the war. People, this will be an inspirational speech one.
Hopefully world peace is achieved by this. But in relation to the Slim Reaper, I think it's him or nothing. I remember talking about this after game 4 with Corey and Nick. It seems to me that, you know, we were going to record this last night, and he's like, just wait, there's something that generally happens before we record. I'm like, all right, we'll do it in the morning. So we have, and Kevin Durant has been upgraded to questionable, obviously. And that seems to me that if you're upgraded to questionable, it seems like he's going to play. And
they need him to play.
And it's fact. This is probably the biggest fact that we have in this week's episode.
Factorino.
We saw that Steph has been up and was certainly down in his last game. Klay Thompson was gargantuan on a bloody hamstring. I don't know what the hell he was doing. But Kevin Durant coming back could change the trajectory of this series. You know, Corey and Nick were high on the fact that, you know, the 3-1 memes could come back to bite anti-Golden State Warriors fans. You know, it's something could happen when you add in the best player in the league, who I believe, Kevin Durant, going up against Kawhi Leonard. It adds a completely different wrinkle. It allows them to play their depth lineup. It allows them to be more cohesive defensively and offensively, which have been, you know, nigh on abhorrent in comparison to their own standards. But Kevin Durant, can he be the savior for the Golden State Warriors? That is the big question.
I 100% believe that he could be. My tune has shifted a little bit. I think Golden State will take the next one, but then Warriors will... Sorry, yeah. Raptors will finish it off
at Oracle
in game 6, okay. I think. The Raptors have just been... anyway, this is about Kevin Durant.
Yep.
But the Raptors have been absolutely dynamite.
We'll get to the Raptors, Nicky boy. Don't you worry.
As a result of that, Kevin Durant needs to come back, and I think he will bring back certain fire and ferocity that Golden State are missing.
He's saying that they're lacking a motivation and edge that you've seen from the Golden State Warriors in the past?
Of course. I mean, they look like a shell of themselves out there, and that partly is due to their opposition. Their opposition is arguably the best opposition they've faced in the last 5 years.
Probably is. You could argue, obviously, the year that they lost.
The year that they lost with Kyrie.
But defensively...
They've never tackled a beast like this.
They haven't defensively, and I think that the best comparison for it is OKC 2016 Western Conference Finals, which funnily enough had Serge Ibaka on that team. The athleticism and switchability of that team was something that gave the Warriors some fits, and if it wasn't for Klay Thompson, they wouldn't have made it out alive. So Kevin Durant is, it seems to me, he's going to be back. I think we can almost, I would put it as a fact that he will be back if we were talking about that.
I mean, if the series ends tomorrow and he doesn't play...
There's a lot of talk that... I mean, let's speak a little bit generally about the whole reporting around this, Nick. And there's a lot of fans who are sort of, you know, upset. Like, well, if Klay can go out on a bloody hamstring and Kevon Looney can play with a broken collarbone, whatever it is, then why can't Kevin Durant go out there and play with just a strained calf? I think the reporting initially about the lack of clarity on the extent of the calf injury. You know, grade 1 strain is a couple of weeks or whatever. So that's when everyone's like, oh yeah, he'll be back game 1. Yeah, just by the end of the Blazers, it's fine. Yeah, that's fine. We don't need him then. So by game 1, game 2, oh no, well, he'll be back by the time we get back to Oracle Arena. And then it just kept on lingering and lingering. Whereas I believe, just from just general reporting that I've seen online, grade 2calf strains take 6 weeks. And I believe he's in around that sort of 35, 36 day mark, which is about, you know, 5, 6, 7 days off that sort of number. So I believe if... I blame... And there was this talk of, like, internal frustrations. Obviously, Kevin Durant, more than any other, would be frustrated himself. I think the lack of clarity has led to some... Maybe some misgivings and just wrong opinions from plenty of, like, NBA pundits and fans out there. Because if if you listen to everything he says about just basketball, the game in general... There is not a player in this league who I think loves the game as much as Kevin Durant does. He wants to be out there. He would be killing himself to be out there. But a calf injury that has could have some long-term lingering effects when it comes to his Achilles, is nothing to play with. So I think anyone who, and I think it might be a small minority of, you know, Warriors fans and just NBA fans in general, just questioning his toughness and durability, need to settle pedal.
Yeah, 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 I agree. I was seeing this thing from, you know, the one and only Colin Coward.
Good old CC, CH.
It was a thing like if the Raptors go on to win, you know, Kevon Looney's been injured, it's, you know, 70%.
Yeah, yeah.
We rattled off all these percentages, which obviously is just off the cuff, you know, whatever. And KD being out, Clay being injured.
Steph and then has his thumb injury
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. And then he surmised it by saying, the Warriors are a depleted team, and if the Raptors win, it's because the Warriors are depleted, are injured.
Yep.
And he signed it off with just, like, just deal with it.
So
I'm like, do not disrespect the Toronto Raptors like that, because the Cavs champion. No one gives a crap about the injuries. Other than
Rachel
the fans
Nichols
itself,
did a bit on this.
Do you reckon that NBA neutrals will give a crap that Draymond Green got suspended and Andrew Bogut was injured for the Cavs 3-1 comeback?
I mean, this probably, and I think also with the fact that, you know, when LeBron James was doing it himself in 2015, I believe, when Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving were out, and obviously they lost pretty famously. But this transitions nicely, Nick, into this was by some just random person on Twitter. If Toronto wins, they're probably the worst title team ever. What do you got for me, Nicholas? I mean, it sort of leads in nicely to Colin's thoughts. What do you think?
No. Alternative fact.
It is alternative fact.
The worst team ever?
Worst championship team ever.
I would argue that the Mavs that won, other than Dirk,
yeah,
was worse than this current Toronto team.
There are a couple that I'll go through, but
Toronto team is amazing.
I'll rattle off the
team. It is simply because they are in Toronto that people haven't given them the credence.
Ooh.
Honestly, like...
International bias. Are you calling them racist, Nick?
I am.
Wow!
I'm just going...
The race car!
The foot... No, of
cares?
Course.
100 episodes.
of course not. But they don't get the media attention. They don't The candence? That's not the word.
The credence.
Credence! That they truly deserve. And just one more thing. My
Give
little
it to
rant.
Me.
My,
I want it.
My Stephen A. level rant.
Give it to me, mate!
Who saw this final series come out of Serge Ibaka?
Yeah.
Having one of the worst, god-awful regular seasons.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
I think he had one game where it's just like, damn!
Yeah.
Damn, son, where he had like 30 points and he like had six, like,
yeah,
similar to game four.
I think
that
I
he had, or game three.
I think I said on the outlet, for those that might have missed it, at a certain point in the past 32 minutes of play, Serge Ibaka's had 8 blocks. So it's carrying.
That's
it's ridiculous. And in relation to the Raptors, let's just look back at their current playoff streak. So they beat the Sixers team that has 4 All Star caliber players. Joel Embiid, one of the best centers. Ben Simmons, a rising star. Jimmy Butler, an absolute stud. And Tobias Harris, you know, a really great player in his own right.
Yep.
They beat the best regular season team in the league in the Milwaukee Bucks. And the likely...
Not only beat them, embarrassed them.
Yeah. They won 4 in a row against them. Like, they just went bang. They made Giannis look like, you know, nothing. And despite the fact he's one of the most offensively and most athletically, gifted players that we've ever seen. And now they're taking down the core of what was a 73-9 Warriors team. I don't know how you're going to make an argument against that. And I think that some people are just dumb, and this is a dumb take.
People have looked at how the Warriors have played, and they have been playing very poorly. Their defense has just been bad. And they liken it to, hey, this is a depleted Warriors team. They're injured. You know, they're not playing like themselves. They're not playing like themselves because the Toronto Raptors are constantly on their heels.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is being beaten by... Not beaten, but Steph Curry is being slowed down by Fred Van Vliet.
Half a tooth.
This comes down to what I was saying before. This fire that Toronto have. Toronto have this focus. Manic
remember
seeing, need.
And the manic focus. Did you see, I'm sure everyone has.
Oh,
I think I shared it on JBT's page as well. When them just walked off, where they won the third game, no one was smiling at all. Like, they were just like laser focused.
That's what I mean.
I loved it.
Like, the Warriors have taken this historic run for granted because their opponents have been the Cleveland Cavaliers, and
it's been LeBron James, not the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, that's right.
And LeBron Kyrie Irving in that one year.
That's what I mean. Like, their teams weren't good.
Yeah.
But I think that, and even through the regular season, like, there wasn't any doubt that the Warriors were going to win. When they swept the Portland Trailblazers, I think that lulled them into a false sense of security that this is what the Raptors are. They've got a whole country's support.
Yeah.
Behind them, they've got the weight on their shoulders, and it could have gone one of two ways. It could have crumbled, or they could have risen to the occasion. And so many of their players have risen to the challenge, and this sheer need and desire to win is why Serge Ibaka is playing the way that he is.
Yeah, they've been sensational. Nick Nurse has been coaching like an absolute madman, not like a rookie coach that he actually is. But funnily enough, Nicholas, the Bleacher Report, I looked through, I tried to find some articles that had the worst championships teams ever.
Yes, back to the actual
take point. Take a look what the number one team is, Nicholas. Washington Bullets! 1978, regular season record of 44-38. Woo! Somehow go on to win the championship. So
good times, mate.
There we go, buddy. You're Washington. We'll get to some Wizards.
Obviously, this random guy on Twitter didn't do his research.
He did not. He didn't look up the Washington Bullets like 41 years ago.
We won the champion. I mean, I should probably know this, being a Wizards fan, but obviously I'm only a
you
recent...
You got one, Nicholas.
A recent Wizards fan.
41 years.
We won off, what was it, 47?
44-38.
That is disgusting.
It's the Nets won 42 games this season.
How bad was the Eastern Conference?
who knows? Who cares, 100 episodes? Nick, Kawhi Leonard is a better player than Stephen Curry. I created some waves with this take. Some waves, my friend.
Yeah.
Some waves. You got any splashing? No, Jimmy Butler's screaming, maybe. He's
I do
in water.
Have, I do have a Jimmy Butler scream.
There's some waves.
He fell into some water. Yeah. This is hard because it's... I mentioned this a couple of episodes ago on episode 97.
Who cares
100 episodes? I mentioned this, a couple of episodes ago in that the game... The basketball as a sport is completely different in its final series as opposed to a regular season.
Yeah.
It's like you are playing a different sport.
Yeah.
And I struggled to find similar sports that do this.
Yeah. It was a good tech. It was a great tech. I liked it.
And that's why you have regular season players, you have regular season teams, and you've got playoff teams and players.
Playoff players, yeah.
Kawhi Leonard is a playoff player.
He is one of the best playoff players ever. And that's not a hot take. It's not. Because... I remember saying this going into the season. I know you were a bit more skeptical about Kawhi Leonard getting back to the Kawhi that he was in 2017 when he was, nigh on MVP and was destroying the Warriors before Zaza's foot, which I get angry about a lot, but I'm not going to today, Nick, because who cares, 100 episodes. but you're right. And Kawhi Leonard, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, he's in that folklore now. Stephen Curry... gets a little bit too much guff, and I gave him a little bit probably too much in the outlet episode yesterday, but he's not in that same folklore and echelon. He's in a nice echelon.
When defenses tighten in the playoffs, when the need and desire for every game to matter, because the NBA want to believe that every regular season game matters. They want to market it. No, it doesn't.
No.
And players know that.
Yeah.
Players relax on Steph. It's like, I'm not going to be...
Like Kawhi had the load management.
You're never going to see, game in, game out, a Fred VanVleet level defensive effort on Steph Curry during the regular season. So when the playoff comes around, defenses tighten, that's when you need your... It's honestly where forwards shine.
Yeah.
Forwards shine because they've got strength, they've got athleticism, and if you're an ISO player like Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard...
Yeah.
That's your playing ground.
I made this take on I think it was The Buzz or the other. I can't remember which one, but and I think I stole it from someone. Or I just agreed with it, and I've sort of taken it as my own to an extent. That a great forward is going to be always better than a great point guard.
Mm.
And maybe that's the modern NBA sort of what you're sort of speaking about there, Nick. But the results of the poll that I put out, initially, when I was keeping up with it, it started off like there was like 40 votes. And it was like 94% Kawhi Leonard. I'm like, okay, this is recency bias to the fullest extent. It evened out quite consistently. And then with Kawhi Leonard having 59% of the vote and 41% for Stephen Curry. Kawhi Leonard is a better player than Stephen Curry. It's a wiki fact because in the regular season, Stephen Curry is.
That's what I mean. Like, it really depends on...
the situation.
On the context of the game. And I try to rationalize it as, if you were to have one single game of these players playing at their absolute peak...
I'd have Kawhi Leonard.
I tried to rationalize it because I'm thinking of the tremendous Steph games that we've seen.
I think Steph
get one of those games where he hits 11 threes.
But if we look at that, it happened in game 3 when Clay was out. He had like 47 points. And that's going to go down as, in the mires of history, as like one of the great playoff games.
Watching him was amazing.
He's insane.
It was something else.
But...
Kawhi Leonard has gotten a lot of his points from the line so far.
Yeah, he has.
And he's not going to get a lot of hate for that. You know, even James Harden.
Yeah.
I
think the way he does it, though, is a bit more... It's in terms of the comparison...
He doesn't flop, I guess.
I think he's doing it purely through physicality and sheer will. Whereas James Harden, like you sort of said, manipulates, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's a good point. For one game at their best, I think Stephen Curry's better.
I tried to rationalize it like that.
And I think that, you know, obviously, it's part of the take. Who cares 100 episodes? Across the entire season, across the postseason, across a playoff series. Like if you're saying playoff series, give me Kawhi.
Mm.
If you're saying one game, I get the best of them. You know, but if I get the best of them, then I'd take, like, you know, LeBron James or Kevin Durant.
There are so many ways you can rationalize.
Yeah.
What makes the best player the best player?
Give it to me right
player.
Now then, Nick. Is it Kawhi? If I gave you the poll, you didn't vote, did you?
No, I didn't.
I had like over 300 votes and my co-host doesn't even get on board and support me. You bum.
I've been on Twitter a bit. I didn't see it.
Yeah, you're doing okay. But
I didn't see it.
Got a bit of traction
as
well.
I'm surprised. I'm just surprised I didn't see it. That's what I mean. Like, I'm so undecided.
Recency bias, it's Kawhi, isn't it?
Yes, of course. Like, and in this series, it's been
Kawhi. Yeah.
But there are so many more things that go into what makes you a better player.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the answer.
It's odd to say that when Stephen Curry might be the best offensive player in the history of the game.
He's definitely the best shooter to ever play the game.
Nick Faye, my other favourite Nick, made the point that the gravity that he brings is like no other, and he makes his teammates better in that sort of respect. But then so does Kawhi, when you see the attention that he's drawing. And there was just one play where he got doubled up the top of the perimeter, and Danny Green, one of the best three-point shooters in playoff history, is left open for a corner three. So
the Warriors' perimeter defense has been bad.
It is, their defense in general has been horrible, and they're not like... Toronto isn't doing anything
masterful.
The amount
of open threes I've seen.
It's been insane how bad they've been. But, you know, we might be next week by this time we come back. We could be talking about a Toronto Raptors team champ. I'll get you. I made my prediction. I said Raptors in 7 on the outlet, but I would not be surprised if the Golden State Warriors do make history for the second time. What do you think? Is it in tomorrow?
Realistically, I said it was going to end at the Oracle, so Raptors in 6.
Gotcha.
But... am I the only person in that's not a Warriors fan that is going for the Warriors at the moment?
Yeah.
I want. Do you not want a Game 7 series? People were rooting for the Toronto Raptors in Game 4. And I'm like, how much more interesting would it be if the series went back 2-2?
I think that there's a lot of comparisons that are happening with these two teams. Like the Warriors right now, the 2004 Lakers. The Toronto Raptors right now are, I think it was the 2004 or 1994 Pistons. I think they turned the 2004 because they're the ones that knocked off the Lakers. So, like, I mean, I just want the Raptors because there's this sort of thing. I think I remember talking about just the narrative around the Golden State Warriors in general as being, like, the behemoth, the juggernaut, the villain.
But I don't want the Warriors to lie down. I don't want the Warriors to be beaten in 5 and you're like, well, that's it.
But I don't mind, Nick, because then it brings on the free agency rumours for Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant to the Brooklyn fucking Nets. we'll get to the Brooklyn bits in a second, obviously. But guys, yeah, any sort of thoughts, takes, you agree, disagree, we'll be posting stuff on Twitter, jbtpodcast@gmail.com, at the JMN JBT, at JBT Nick. But Nick, speaking of free agency, from the Charlotte Observer, a supermax deal for Kemba Walker would be the wrong move at the wrong time for the wrong reasons for the Charlotte Hornets. Obviously, he got that all-NBA spot.
That's wrong. That's a lot of wrong.
It's wrong. Are they freaking idiots?
Wrong.
I mean, that's wrong. It's a lot of wrong.
Are they freaking idiots?
Are they?
Three times I said it. Guys, if you're like sitting...
As you can hear, I'm still coughing. I'm still sick.
His brain is processing like that 5% slower. Like the Warriors on defense right now. Oi!
I reckon it's true. I think I've said this for a while, and I think the Hornets will offer him the Supermax.
Okay.
But I think it's because you show your players some respect.
Yeah.
And it's a respect thing. You know, your boy's been a very loyal servant. Now it's time for him to get paid.
Get the money.
But from
get the money, Nick.
Get the money. Nah. I can't find the duck.
Oh my God.
There it is.
I was also wanting the cash register.
I need to get these color coded.
I wanted the cash register one.
Oh, the cash register. I know where that is. That's an easy one. But the Simpsons one's so much better.
Who cares 100 episodes?
We're going off the cuff. This is great. From an organizational standpoint, he's not worth... I don't think he's worthy of a Supermax.
Is anyone worth it?
No.
Like, that's
no,
the thing. Like,
no one's worth a Supermax. Like, this Supermax is the dumbest thing from an organizational perspective.
And
it is great. It is great for the players.
Yeah.
No doubt. John Wall's getting freaking cash.
He's getting money. Cash register.
He's getting cash money. And that is great personally. He's been great for the Wizards. He deserves all the money that he can get.
He deserved it.
Deserved. I mean, now he's injured.
Yeah.
But you would feel dirty paying that much of your salary cap, in that much chunk of your salary cap on a single person, when the Hornets are not, like, what desperation is there to keep Kemba Walker? They're not winning a championship anytime soon.
Yeah.
He's not the linchpin.
That championship or bust thing, I mean, I get it, but, like, when you also, and I see it from both sides, because the Hornets already have a heap of ridiculous money tied up, and that's through bad front office management with, you know, Nicholas Batum. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. And a heap of these other guys, Marvin Williams, Bismack Biyombo, all these guys just paid ridiculous amounts of money that don't deserve it. And you have Kemba Walker, who was like the sixth highest paid Charlotte Hornet for like so many years.
He's great. He is a star.
4 years, $48 million he was on. Like, in a similar sort of vein to what Stephen Curry was on before he got the Supermax.
But you only float the Supermax when it's going to benefit your team.
It relates to the All-NBA, though, Nick, because what we talked about.
Of course. Like, but if you've got the option to pay the Supermax, it should only be used in a scenario that it's going to benefit your team.
So, I mean, I believe, and don't quote me on this, CBA guys, hit me up if I am wrong. He can get 4 years, $220 million. 5 years, $220 million, sorry. So $44 million a year from the Charlotte Hornets. On the open market, I believe the most that he can get is $4,140. An $80 million gap. Now, maybe the Hornets have the leverage in the sense it's like, look, we can give you $80 million more. Can we make it like $60 million, make a $200 million deal or $190 million or something just to make it like that little bit better for us and give us some sort of flexibility? Maybe he does do that. And the sort of relating to the championship sort of mentality that you sort of said, there are teams in this league that need to be relevant, not just championship relevant. And I think the Hornets, the Blazers, all these, the Nets maybe even to a lesser extent, they need to be relevant and they need to sell seats. They need to sell tickets, Nicholas, as we love to say. because it's a business at the end of the day. I mean, it sounds contrite to say that, but it is. The NBA is a for-profit league, but run by owners that want to get money. They want to get money, Nicholas.
Money. They want to get money.
We're in the money. The cash register.
God damn it.
Who cares, 100 episodes? Leave that on a t-shirt, actually. Yeah, DesignTrade.com. Right? Well, I'm going to speak to Nick Faye and the people at DesignTrade. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. They probably shouldn't offer it to him. I'm probably more in the middle.
It's not smart. It's not smart spending. It's but not. How much of a betrayal would it be for the Hornets to be like, we're not offering you this?
Oh, yeah, it would be...
To Kemba Walker.
Kemba has said that he's prioritizing staying there. The Hornets organization, there's rumors coming out that they want him to come back. We'll certainly keep an eye on it.
It would be the biggest slap in the face if they didn't offer him the Supermax. It would be wild. And I think that's why they're going to... That's why I think they're going to offer it.
And I mean, at the end of the day, you can always... I think Kemba's going to... The whole thing a lot of people say with Chris Paul, especially, is probably the guy that people go back to. The small point guard thing. Kemba Walker's like 6'1", 6'2". You don't want to pay your ridiculous amounts of money into a guy's mid to late 30s. They might have to, but we'll keep an eye on it. But speaking of the Houston Rockets, Nicholas, the Houston Chronicle. The Rockets need to retain Mike D'Antoni's services. We talked about this last week, and it seemed like things had crumbled and fallen apart, but now... Tillman Fertitta, the owner, and Daryl Morey are going to Mike D'Antoni's holiday home. And
last I heard that a deal between D'Antoni and the Rockets was not even close.
And now there seems to be some movement in that area. So a little over a week ago, after talks for an extension had ended, and the coach was sitting down. So they need to take the step. So apparently they visited his off-season home. They didn't have an agreement. But apparently, I quote the Houston Chronicle article, it's a step in the right direction. D'Antoni has come out and said he's leaving it to his agent to come up with it, whether it's a year, whether it's 3 years. A lot of people are disregarding Mike D'Antoni as a coach. Obviously, he's been the reason why James Harden has turned into the offensive mastermind and god that he is. But a lot of people are saying that, can you win a title with James Harden playing the way he is? Kobe Bryant was saying that. Can you win it with Mike D'Antoni coaching the way he is, just letting the guys just do the ISO thing? Changes probably do need to be made. But at the same time, if we just wait until this offseason, the Golden State Warriors happen to sort of, you know, lose the best player in the game, and he goes to New York or wherever where I think he goes, but other people think he won't, then the Houston Rockets could still be one of the best teams in the Western Conference with... I mean, I don't see them being as good as they were in 2 years ago when they were that close to being, you know, a championship team. Obviously, Chris Paul and the missed threes are the narrative there. But I still think that they are a championship contender. How much? I obviously don't know. Do you need Mike D'Antoni for that? I would think so. I think continuity is more valuable.
I'd be trying to throw as much money at Kemba Walker as I could if I was the Rockets.
They've already given that money to Chris Paul, though, Nick.
So fuck Chris Paul off.
So just trade Chris Paul for...
I'm sure, I'm not good on the trade machine, mate, but I'm sure there's a trade Miami package
Heat
somewhere.
I'm not sure if you've seen them, but there have been Miami Heat rumours about the fact that Miami Heat have inquired about Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker... and Chris Paul. I don't know how the hell
I think you
work.
Move on from Chris Paul.
I think you do as well, but no one's going to want that contract. No. And obviously, there's the Lakers could strike out on every free agent, and he ends up with his bro.
The Lakers.
Then the most recent rumor that's been making the waves is that apparently Boston have engaged in talks over Clint Capella. I don't understand that when they already have one of the best centers in the league in Al Horford. But I know you're not a big fan of Al Horford.
I am a big fan.
You are. It's Draymond Green that you're not a fan of.
I'm a fan of both.
Yes, Nick, we know. But the Rockets need to retain Mike D'Antoni's services. I'm going to wiki because I don't think that is essential that they retain his services. But I think it would be to their betterment if they do. What do you think before we move on to a bit of Wizards Waves?
Retaining D'Antoni.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree. This is a hashtag fact.
Factamundo.
Yes, they most definitely need to retain Mike D'Antoni. Gotcha. You do not get rid of one of the best coaches of modern times.
Okay, interesting. Hasn't won a championship, though.
He hasn't, but he's still good. He's still good.
He's still good. He is still good. You know what's still good? Wizards Boys.
The Washington Wizards are making noise.
I drank some bleach all the way down to the blue, and now I'm starting to feel like Harry Potter.
That was me, Potter. And Nick probably has been drinking some bleach.
I worked so hard to suppress that cough during that.
It's
music.
Almost like a
threw and
in
you
your
just
face.
You just threw it out. You know what? I'm gonna cough.
Do it, mate. He's been drinking some bleach and it's gotten him down to the blue. And he feels like Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's.
Nicholas, the Wizard should have kept at least one of Kelly Oubre / Otto Porter Jr. OPJ.
Oh, I mean, hindsight's a beautiful thing.
It is a wonderful
isn't
thing,
it,
Nicholas.
Isn't it, Jackie boy? I really liked Kelly. Yep. I really liked
him. He's
I
a sexy dude, man.
He is.
He's very he is. Sexy.
I didn't like his little hair discoloration, but...
He's beautiful.
It's grown on me.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an attractive man.
Very attractive man. Wavy Poppy is apparently his
that's
nickname.
That's Ooh. I would have definitely moved on from Otto Porter. As great as he was, yes, it was. He was earning a little bit too much of the cash dollar.
He was.
Because of you and the Brooklyn frickin' Nets.
Sorry. It's going to happen to us this offseason.
D'Angelo
Russell anyway.
Offer him the bloody max.
He's doing well in Chicago, and I like that.
I mean, he's a good shooter. Yeah. I think he was a little bit down in the dumps at Washington, just given the personnel around him, John Wall and Gortat, and like it just wasn't meshing. But he's a so great player. But I would have liked to have had Kelly.
But the
Kelly is youth. Kelly was getting better every year. Defensively, he's amazing. He's got length. He's got speed. Yep. He's got intensity.
He's just
offensively. He's not that crash hot.
And like he's now in Phoenix, and he's had again those up and down moments. But I think the argument against him and the reason why letting him go and putting him in a trade, obviously in a weird trade for Trevor Ariza, is that he's now a restricted free agent and someone's going to have to give him some money.
Hmm.
And I don't think he deserves like a high number. I barely think he deserves $12 million a year. I don't think he's maybe 15. I don't know, because you're paying.
I'd probably stretch for 15.
I think because you're paying for potential, but
yeah.
At the same time, $50 million, like those sort of mid-glut monies for like, you know, Timothy Mozgov, Luol Deng,
they
can look shitty. But at the same time, we sort of spoke about, you know, general wings and their valuableness in today's league. And obviously,
he's the potential to be a serviceable 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
How much do you pay a 3-and-D guy in this league?
Which is probably about
15 at the max.
But then Damari Carroll got that money and ended up being a salary dump deal. You know, so
it can backfire. No doubt it can backfire.
Yeah.
And that's the risk you take with young players. I think, I think given Kelly's slow nature on offense, like his growth has been quite slow offensively, whereas defensively he's gangbusters.
Yeah, yeah.
I really loved him defensively, but what really annoyed me about Kelly was he can't drive.
Yeah.
For such an athletic guy, he gets met at the rim and scuffs the shot every single time.
I think it's his strength that I think he's quite slight of frame. I think that's probably part of it. And
you give him an open three, and I'd like him to knock them down. Like his open three game is not bad.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
We will see. Nick will be following Kelly for much much longer in his career. He'll be getting some sort of money. Mm. But I'll be following the Brooklyn Nets.
Woo woo, 100 episodes, who cares?
You did it the wrong way,
Rhett. I did it the wrong way, Rhett.
Oh, who cares, 100 episodes.
Cares? There it is.
That's the right way to say it, ladies and gentlemen. Nicholas, Steve Lichtenstein, Nets should pass on Kyrie Irving unless the plan also includes acquiring an elite front court player, Kevin Durant. Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Kawhi Leonard.
Alternative fact.
Oh, so you're
you about acquire Kyrie Irving at all freaking costs.
Oh, I'm intrigued, Nicholas. Give me it, because a lot of Nets fans are not on this bandwagon.
Come on.
Kyrie D'Lo combination.
Who cares? Kyrie's a better player than D'Lo.
All right.
That's the argument.
Yeah, but like
Kyrie will make, like you said, the importance of relevancy in this league. You'll make the playoffs again, and with Kyrie at the helm.
But how much, like, and the question that I mean... The fact that the Nets are in these conversations is a lot of fun for me as a Brooklyn Nets fan. It provides sensational content for the Brooklyn Buzz as well. The rumors that have been going around is that, you know, Kyrie, you know, is buying houses and lofts and stuff around Manhattan. He's bumping into old crossing guards in New Jersey. He's attending Governor's Ball and putting out his prophecies again about the third eye bullshit. It seems to me that Kyrie is going to end up with a New York team. And I think that he might end up with... it seemed like Bill Simmons is almost speaking into existence the whole D'Angelo Russell to another team. You know, I think that he would be awesome on like a team like the Pacers or the Jazz. And maybe even the Timberwolves, but they've got so much cap money. I mean, I don't know. You'd have to trade Bradley Beal to us and maybe we'll consider it.
Hey! Beal Kyrie. Backcourt. That's scary.
That's pretty.
That's
nice.
Pretty good.
That's probably the best backcourt in the league. But I mean, I think I'll give this a Twitter because I don't see the Nets getting tremendously better just with Kyrie Irving than compared to what
it's
we've had.
Kyrie Irving, though. Like, he will... Can you imagine Kyrie Irving in a stable... I mean, not that the Celtics are an unstable franchise.
They were supposed to be.
Yeah, I know, but he is sort of made headways by clashing a little bit with the young guys.
We've got young guys, Nick. I know,
but how much of a different feel is your team dynamic than the Boston Celtics?
Yeah,
Boston Celtics seem miserable. You guys are hyping each other on the bench.
That meme has been making a lot of waves.
It is incredible. And can you imagine Kyrie Irving with his own personal cheer squad?
Kyrie did say that, you know, he spoke about, you know, benches, you know, dance up and down, and essentially it was the Brooklyn Nets. That's half of our Bleacher Report.
He wants his team to be happy.
But I don't know if he brings unhappiness with him. That's
well,
the thing.
Yeah, that's the gamble, I guess.
And I mean, the part of me that just doesn't want to see D'Angelo Russell leave is because it's sort of like you with John Wall and Bradley Beal, because this is a team that we built him up.
Yeah,
definitely. And I mean, at the same time, it would bring my... I've said this plenty of times. My T-shirt jersey curse would continue. I bought a Brook Lopez T-shirt jersey. See you later. I bought a Jeremy Lin T-shirt jersey. See you later. And while I was in New York last, I got one of the Coogie, the really cool biggie ones.
Jeremy Lin wasn't going to last.
I mean,
come on.
He was our big-time free agent a couple of years ago, Nicholas. He brought a huge fan base, and now he could win a title. Who knows? My curse could be like a thing. Like, if I buy, like, Caris LeVert next year when I go to the States with you or something, Caris LeVert's probably going to end up on the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Just buy someone who you'd be happy to be traded.
See, I was like, I should buy a Timofey Mozgov one. Who should I buy? I like everyone in the Brooklyn Nets right now. That's the thing. I should have bought an Alan Crabb one, but he's gone.
He's gone now. Yeah.
So yeah, you guys can check out plenty of content around that on the Brooklyn Buzz. But Nick,
you're not as high on Kyrie as.
See, like I brought like a couple of weeks ago, I brought this up on the Buzz just as like a random thing. I'm like, and because it literally came to me. And I'll say the story on JBT as well. I was like just driving. I can't remember if it was to work or just somewhere in the sort of just outer western suburbs, and I was just thinking about D'Angelo and Kyrie. I'm like, why not? And it's horrible.
It's a standings thing as well. Not so much like NBA standings, but like city. You're competing with the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
If you can get someone like it's same as the Clippers and the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If the Clippers can land a big free agent and the Lakers can't,
that'd be insane.
That is the tide turning in New York.
Who knows?
So if you manage to get snatch Kyrie from the grips of James Dolan,
ho ho, Jimmy D.
Yes, Jimmy D. Then would that not bode well just from an organisational standpoint?
Of course, and the optics around it.
Like,
would
whether it works on the court, I don't... whatever.
Woj literally said in a report, in a tweet, he's like, they are... The front office is determined to steal away from the New York Knicks. And
you get Kyrie, you win. That's just, you win.
But if the Knicks get KD...
then they would.
But they definitely... but if we get Kyrie and KD, I just want them both.
That's what the Knicks are going
to. I want Kyrie and KD, and like, you know, I want D'Lo as well. It's hard to say I want them all, but I'm going to be fascinated to see how the coming weeks, you know, and this speculation is going to ramp up, and we might have to have Brooklyn Bits headlining the episode next week if we've got no more content related to the finals. But Nick, who cares? 100 episodes.
Who cares? 100 episodes.
Loved it. Even though you got the actual wording wrong and you said 100 episodes.
100 episodes, who cares?
You're going to call
but
it.
But who cares?
You're going to call it that, aren't you? You're not going to call it who cares.
100 episodes, who cares?
You're calling it that, aren't you? Yeah,
who cares? 100 episodes.
What a song.
That is great.
Making number one on Spotify, just like Brooklyn Bits and everything that is musically related to JBT. Even though Nick is now like performing in a band.
Yeah, band.
He's a rock man.
I'm a rock star.
He's a rocket man. See that at movies. Warner Brothers.
Is it out?
Yeah, great movie.
Oh, you've seen it?
Highly recommend seeing it. Yeah, it's all with Maggie's. Tarek Egerton?
Yeah.
He's insane. Great, yeah. I enjoyed it more than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody was not good. Hot take!
Oh!
Which apparently is the hot take.
Take that, Freddie Mercury and Rami Malek!
It was not good. I mean, Rami Malek was great.
He was insane.
Anyway, we're not talking about
it. We're not. This is a minor off-topic that we didn't even press a thing for. We're just going to do some spiels.
We'll do some spiels. Jackie Boy.
Yep, that's my name.
That just about does it for another episode. So thank you for tuning in to 100 episodes of Just Ball Things. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Do us a solid and leave us a rating and review. Helps us out a bunch. So remember, it's you guys that make the show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Who cares 100 episodes?
For the war, against the war, who cares 100 episodes?